I cannot believe how different things are in Ashburn than they were a year ago.
Yeah, and the words of Al Michaels. Here we go.
You live long enough,
yeah,
you get right back to where you started.
Time is a flat circle.
It is wild just how familiar this all feels. But a calendar year ago, not even, Washington was about to play Tampa Bay in the playoffs. We were about to be treated to a rare and fun playoff win on the road, Raymond James Stadium. Then they went to Detroit, got the biggest win this franchise has experienced since January of 1992. And then it was on to the NFC Championship game. And really, since that week leading up to the NFC title game, where they would give up 55, get blown out by the Eagles, everything has come crashing back down to earth. But today, an ominous report from Jordan Schultz, formerly of Fox Sports, has bounced around different outlets. Jordan Schultz, super plugged in with agents, that's kind of his game. Sources, part of the issue the Commanders have had in the building is the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and players to use, an ongoing problem dating back to 2024 when they were having success. With the team struggling this year, it reached new heights, and there were notable disagreements. Moreover, I have not gotten the impression Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. The entire disconnect is one to watch as we head into 2026. And then Jordan Schultz quotes a source who said, there's a lot of S going on there, end quote. We back up.
Yeah, let the world know.
We are back, baby. The Commanders, the Redskins, what's different? Let's just start with this report.
Yes.
What do you think?
I wonder what else Cliff Kingsbury's agent had to say. I'm sort of being tongue-in-cheek sarcastic, but this is clearly... We have done this before. We skip to the end here in this marketplace. We know. You don't have to start, you don't have to be Columbo. You don't have to be Ace Ventura pet detective to get to the bottom of this one. When things go bad and people start losing gigs, blame starts flying and people start doing a little CYA. And you do the CYA to try to make sure that your next job or your next interview can go okay when you need people to know that, no, I know it was bad, but it wasn't my fault. Here's why. So you use what mechanisms you have. You flush some things down. And you hope they come out on the other side of the pipes to make people, be more on your side, to get your narrative and get your story out there. You don't need to do that when you're 12-5 and it's a honeymoon. You do when you're 4-12 and you win a meaningless game to end the season. So I buy it 100%. I buy that there's trouble in paradise. I buy that discord should have happened, quite frankly. And, the idea that it erupted and spilled over and was a point of contention, yeah, I understand that. Now, I'm not condoning it. I don't think the GM should be walking down and sticking a finger in someone's face and going, hey, on 2nd and 7, make sure that you throw a screen pass to Ben Sinnott. Or where's Jalen Lane on my pop pass? That shouldn't be happening. That's not what you do. You pick the ingredients. You manage the edges as the general manager. But game day, the plan they're in, that belongs to the coach. That's an overstepping, if that is to be believed. And I think to some degree, it probably is. But you're telling me the bad team had discord? Yeah, I buy it.
Second time this week from a second different reporter and outlet where we've heard about consternation between the front office and the staff. So there's more smoke here to that. I think it is clear and it is unequivocal that you can... while not dismissing this, you can understand where it's coming from. You joked about Kingsbury's agent, Eric Burkhart, or one of the other agents that are involved here. Could be the agent for Joe Barry. Joe Barry's not the guy. Joe Witt.
Yeah, him too.
That's another bad defensive coordinator they fired. I've done this for too long.
Yeah.
Could be the agent.
For Greg Minuski.
Exactly. For, Greg Blosch. No, but it could be Joe Witt's agent. It could be Bobby Johnson's agent. It could be, somebody else in the building who we don't know about that is on their way out, that was a part of one of these staffs that now knows that their days are numbered and their agent's getting the word out. But that side of the story being disseminated, while I think it's pretty easy to chalk up where it's coming from, does not mean it's wrong. That's an important distinction. In other words, when a couple gets a divorce and you go to the wife who's getting separated and you say, tell me about this guy, the soon-to-be ex-husband, and she unloads the magazine, right? She's just unloading the clip. He's lazy. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He's a bad husband. He's a bad dad, whatever. Like, she's angry. This is coming from a place of emotion. She has been wronged. She feels a little bit miffed and is angry at this person, and so she's saying all of the worst possible things. But there's probably a lot of truth in it, too. You're probably still able to weed through some of that, some of the biases, and say, was this true that they weren't working that hard? Is this true that they cheated on you? Or whatever it was, right? So there could be merit to some of this. That's what we have to figure out. That's what the commanders have to figure out. That's what this ownership group has to figure out. Here is the part of this, though, that I do not buy for one second. This is not to knock Jordan Schultz's reporting. I think he heard something, and he's passing that along. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what reporting is. Generally, you know, you hear from one person, you better corroborate it with another. There's some checks and balances here. But in 2026, the year of our Lord, the way reporting works is essentially people hear something from somebody and then they disseminate it and put that out there, right? And what I'm quite sure he was told by someone was that Dan Quinn didn't want to make these decisions. I don't believe that for one second. I don't think that Adam Peters said to Dan Quinn, you have to fire Cliff Kingsbury, and then Quinn fired a guy that he didn't think he should. I don't think that Dan Quinn, who already made Joe Witt come down to the sideline from the booth, who already took his play calling duties away, who's already cut him off at the knees midway through the season, was unwilling to fire Joe Witt. I don't believe that for one second. So this second part here, I have not gotten the impression Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. I do not believe that even a little bit.
Fair. Here's my counter to your counter. I think you say it that way to make sure everyone knows that it wasn't just Cliff's representative talking about it. In other words, if this anonymous source goes, he really didn't want to fire Cliff Kingsbury, everyone's kind of going, dude, you can just sign your name. It's not anonymous anymore. You say he didn't want to move on from his coordinators. I think to throw some the attempt at some subterfuge there, that this could have been anybody. But to me, that's how I viewed that. So it's interesting that you came to that conclusion, because I'm with you. I don't think you had any hesitation. You understood. The assignment was pretty easy. Once you said, Joe Witt, you ain't calling plays anymore, what do you do here?
So you're right? Saying you just label it as everyone so that you protect your source?
Yes.
But my point is, okay, so let's just make it Cliff then, who's really the person we're talking about. The idea that Dan wanted to keep Cliff, that Dan was happy with how Cliff was operating, goes against a lot of the things that I've heard within the last few days when they're having these meetings, and they weren't just in the last 72 hours, but it is very normal for a defensive-minded head coach dinosaur to want to run the ball more.
Yeah.
Run it 10 times, they want you to run it 12. It is very normal when you get shut out by the Vikings that they're upset with your protection plan. Like, I think there was some strife and some consternation. Again, we'll see. And maybe there's no way to ever prove this or not, but both with the information that I've gleaned and then just my eyes watching from the same seats you were in Minnesota and the season sitting at this table here with you, I do not believe that Adam Peters demanded that Dan Quinn fire Cliff Kingsbury and Quinn begrudgingly did so, where he walks into the office and goes, hey, Cliff, look, if this was up to me, buddy, you and I would keep making sweet music together. But the big bad boss is making me do this. I just don't believe that.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out how I would quantify this. I'm going Rossini report about Peter's Kingsbury Discord.
Yes.
The information that you've been able to glean and pass on. And then this source that I believe, and again, I'm not calling anybody out, just my belief that this is basically coming from Kingsbury's camp.
This idea of like meddling GM coordinators at odds. Yeah. I believe there's truth to some of this.
Yeah. And so was Dan Quinn a 1 out of 10? 10 out of 10 going, get out of my office. I never want to see your ass again. You'll never work anywhere. He was not a 10 out of 10. They wanted the fire Cliff. Was he a 1, though, where it's like, God, I want to keep you so bad, I just can't? I don't think it was that. I think it's on the scale, right? I think it's somewhere towards the middle.
Well, here's the way to ask it.
Yeah.
What percentage of Cliff's departure, if we're divvying up 100% to Peters and to Quinn, would you say, like, is on whose desk?
Yeah.
So in other words, just to give you my first numbers, and I haven't thought about this. I'm thinking about it in
real time. Because that's what I'm trying to quantify.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say like 60-40 Dan Quinn or 65-35 Dan Quinn. I don't think Adam Peters, when you go to him, I don't think you have to sell him and be like, dude, listen. Because I think a lot of how Quinn views the world is what he knows Peters wants anyway. I think that is Peters' guy, and they are in lockstep on a lot of things. Like, you and I do a show together. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we celebrated our 12th anniversary?
So that's 12 years, but we're in our 13th year, but it's our 12th anniversary. Yes.
12th anniversary.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have anything you'd like to send us for our 12th anniversary, please let us know. We'll get you our addresses.
Right? Yeah.
But you take aside.
Yeah.
You start stuff. You kind of start seeing things the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We've done the show long enough. I'll use an axiom that you came up with. You'll use a reference that I like. You just kind of mold
it's
together.
It's like a zipper.
You start seeing things like each other see it, you know? I think that probably happens with them. So I think when Quinn goes to Peters and says, I want to get rid of this guy, it's not like it's news to Adam Peters or he's like, really, you do? I think they've had a lot of conversations. But the bottom line is, did Quinn want to make a change or not? I think the answer is yes. And so I'm going over 50%.
So I flipped the numbers. In other words, I don't think Dan Quinn fought on this one. Like, I don't think he's like, it's either me or him. I don't think he did anything like that. I think this is a Peters thing. I think Dan Quinn is, when it comes to these type things, is the Martin Mayhew. Remember Martin would stand up there at the press conferences and go, I agree with Coach. Stunning that you agree with Coach. You know what Coach said it. Did he? Ron hit that one? He knocked that one out of the park too? That answer was perfect? Way to go, Martin. Do you have any independent thoughts of your own on this matter? Yeah, what Coach said. I think that's why Dan Quinn got the gig, to be frank with you. I think Dan Quinn, yes, to a degree, sees things the way Adam Peters does, but he also knows that's in his professional interest to do so. I don't think they wanted a strong-willed head coach. I mean, to me, my prime example on this is not that they didn't end up hiring Mike Vrabel. They didn't interview Mike Vrabel because the reputation is this guy is
–
Or Belichick. Yeah, they didn't want – somebody that was going to, going to push back.
The Ben Johnson thing, when he was interested in the job, went completely sideways.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the really strong-willed people, and I know people get upset when we bring this up, but sorry, put your big boy pants on for a second. I mean, Dan Quinn flew in here, Coach, and flew out, Coach, when they're flying all over the country on a PJ to meet with all the other candidates to start that process. Like, yeah, they ended up with a guy, I think, that kind of saw the world the way they wanted him to. There's no doubt about that. Doesn't mean he can't be the right hire. Certainly was in year one.
And that's not necessarily on its face a criticism, by the way. I don't necessarily mind that one way or the other. The person I'd rather have be the strong architect is the GM. I want this whole organization to be in his image. Like, that to me is the tone setter. Coaches come and go, assistants come and go, coordinators, everything underneath it, they'll change. The GM, that I want my Ozzie Newsome. I want to wake up and go, I'm safe. I'm sound. I got that guy.
That's another good point, by the way. How long have we wanted a real GM around here to call all the shots?
Beg for it.
To be the de facto leader. And I don't need it to be Belichickian my way or the highway, chest out, big time, like ego, no one else has a say. And that's certainly not the way they portray this when they're sitting side by side as this, you know, working relationship. But if you want a GM who is powerful and the buck stops with them, who's more powerful than the coach, and who calls the shots and runs the show, you've got that.
Yes.
And if that means, by the way, that GM is going to go occasionally to a coordinator and say, I drafted a tight end at 52 and you're not playing him because you're playing some other older guy that you have a relationship with from Arizona, I need you to get this kid the football. I don't have a huge problem with that. Now, is it overstepping? Is it abnormal that a GM would go to a coordinator and do that if that's what's happening? Apparently so. This was Jay Gruden, who we had on the show on Monday, after this report broke, and we asked him, is it odd, is it normal for a general manager and a coordinator to basically be butting heads over either scheme or usage of players? Is that something that should be happening?
Well, that's odd to me because typically the GM and the offensive coordinator don't have contact at all. That's the head coach's job, to talk to the GM directly and relay the coach's message to him directly, and the coaches don't have really any interaction with the GM. So it's odd to me. But, I guess if he's not getting the players he wanted, and maybe he's expressed his frustration in that way. But it's just a weird situation because, like I said, they don't really typically interact.
So that's the what's typical and how the normal structure would go. That's I understand that to a degree, but, like, you know, how serious are these things? In other words, is this a scheduled meeting on the books where Ben Sinnott usage, you know, come by my office at 10:15, we'll have a 45-minute knockdown dragout? Is it in the hallway over a cup of coffee? Hey, Cliff, how's your weekend? Pretty good. Hey, man, why can't Ben get the ball? Is that the meddling? We don't know. I mean, there's layers to this, right? There's nuance to it. So when things don't go well, again, this is expected. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying you'll find all the warts and all the negative things come flying out. But ultimately, The idea is that Adam Peters is the person that will hopefully, if this all works well, I think this offseason is pivotal for him, by the way. He's going to have to change complete direction in terms of player acquisition, personnel, the type of team he's going to field, et cetera. I know why they doubled down after the success of year one. I think that was supposed to be temporary. You go to the NFC title game, you have to kind of keep doing that. This blew up in their face. It's now get young, get fast time, and hurry up about it, please. Let's start yesterday. So that's where I'll be judging him. But for major matters, I think it's Peters' call, and I think Dan Quinn knows that. I think that was part of one of the conditions of his employment, where I appreciate your opinion. We'll do this by committee, but the buck stops right here, dude. I'm Adam Peters, and you're not.
Yeah, and I don't buy, while we're making a list of things that I'm not completely signing off on, like this idea that Quinn had to fire these coaches and didn't want to. Don't agree with that. Here's another thing I don't buy. When Adam Peters in the press conference on Monday at the end of year presser said something to the effect of, like, the staff is exclusively DQs.
Mm-hmm.
I basically am a spectator and I just sit it out and he lets me know what he's doing. They said at other points during the presser over and over again that everything's so collaborative, that nothing happens one without the other. So in every other way, Adam and Dan are in cahoots and they are, you know, talking things through. But in this one element, this significant, massive element, by the way, the guy that runs the building and runs the shop doesn't care to have a say in who the OC or the DC is going to be. By the way, the quarterback you drafted second overall, in some way, your reputation with that pick, at least initially, not forever, but for right now, is kind of on the line with that selection. That development of that player, you know, Dan Quinn's future, who was your first head coaching hire, this is all on the line with this OC selection.
Yep.
And you're just going to wait in your office for Quinn to tell you who it is? Call me crazy. I don't buy that for 1 second. He's absolutely going to be heavily involved in picking the OC. Now, it's got to be Quinn's call in the end with some help from Peters, and I'm sure that was the case with the dismissal of these coaches as well. But the fact for me is, if you're sitting here reporting today that the GM's super powerful and meddling and overly involved and was annoying the coaches, number one, that's obviously coming from the coaches who just got fired,
yep,
which doesn't make it not true. Number two, we've got to figure out to what extent was that meddling happening. Is it as simple as him wanting to see Ben Sinnott more, which I did too and you did too.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with that one. Like, what are we talking about?
And also, I know I'm harping on this detail, and I know maybe it's not relevant to some, but what does meddling look like?
Right.
Is it a conversation in passing? Is it ribbing when, like, you guys are there walking on the treadmill next to each other, sipping electrolyte-filled water, going, yeah, dude, play Ben Sinnott. No! And then we go about our day.
Get Brandon Coleman back in there at left guard, man. Every time you see him, and it just hasn't happened all year, he's insubordinate.
Or is it, you know, finger in the face, do what I'm telling you to do, or your ass is grass? I have no idea.